We are in our third lesson of the All In series, and we've been talking about how to make the promised land home. How to make the promised land home, not just something that we're looking at theoretically, but something that we're living in regularly. And if you're a note taker in your service guide, there's always an opportunity to take some notes, and I encourage you to do so. Our big idea for the week, for our first week, was that God is all in with his people and requires that we be all in with him. And then last week, we talked about the fact that being all in requires intentional movement. Well, this morning, our big idea is that all in means crossing the tipping point into new territory. The tipping point is that place where the weight of your life shifts from where you have been to where you're going. That's just been fun all day. For the first time in my life, we have a physical therapist that attends this church. And in the last service, they came up to me afterwards, after service, and they said, "It's just amazing that you can do that at your age." I've never had somebody say that to me before. But that's what the tipping point's all about. It's that moment where we go from what was and we become all in on what's becoming. We move into the place where our attention, our concentration, our expectations of life are no longer drawn from the days of our past, but they become weighted into the place of our future. And that's what's happening right now, is that this territory is now taking my weight, the weight that that territory used to take. And now I'm all in the new territory. Our text for this service is Joshua chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. It says, "While the Israelites were camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. The very next day, they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land." So they've been in the wilderness, they've crossed the Jordan, and now they're reaping the harvest of the new land, and they're eating bread that's been cultivated and created from the harvest of the new land. And then the scripture says that no manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. And in this series, we've moved from a reactive posture, a reactive attitude, to a proactive posture and a proactive attitude. We've moved from humble patience to humble boldness, and we've intentionally moved from a known position where we know what's going on. We've been comfortable in Kadesh. We've been comfortable in the wilderness. It's a known quantity. Maybe we don't like everything about it, but it's a known quantity. At least we understand how the rules work in this place. And we've intentionally moved out into this new territory called Canaan. And Gilgal is where they're sitting. Gilgal is a word that means circle of stones, or maybe a circular altar. And this was not an uncommon thing to see around Canaan, or what we would know as Palestine today. It was fairly common. So there were probably many towns and regions called Gilgal, because you would come upon a circle of stones or a circular altar, and they would say, "Okay, this is Gilgal." Well, the Gilgal that Israel is standing in or camped in right now is a place right there by the Jordan River, on the plains of Jericho. So Jericho's maybe in the distance, and they're camped there. And this is a tipping point in their lives, a tipping point in their experience. They're in the promised land. They've crossed the Jordan. They're within the perimeters that God has set for their promised land, but they have not yet taken the territory completely. Remember, I said last week that sometimes God will give you a specific destination, but when you're in your promised land, he says, here are the parameters, here are the perimeters, if you will, of the promised land, and your job is to go take it all. Go take it all. So how you progress in that, that becomes your choice, but it's your territory to take. Go take it. But entering new territory is always unique. In fact, Gilgal is a dynamic place. There's a lot of rapid change that's happening in Gilgal, and there's charged emotions, and there's issues of the past, and there's realities of the present, and there's dreams of the future, and it's all wrapped up in Gilgal. And I'll give you four experiences that Israel went through there in Gilgal that if you're a Bible geek like myself, you're going to find fascinating. And if you're not, then just, you know, take a quick nap and we'll pick you up on the way a little bit further along. So Gilgal is this dynamic place. The first thing is it's a place, a solemn place of remembrance. And this was a place where they built a memorial to the miracle that God did in stopping the waters of Jordan and allowing them to move into the promised land. They built a memorial of 12 stones. And when you're all in, it's right to stop and celebrate these moments. It was also a joyful place of resurrection. See, the promise of God never stopped being the promise of God. They left Egypt, they went to Sinai, they received the law. Then they went to the Jordan and should have crossed over the Jordan into the promised land then, but they refused. And so they end up in the wilderness for 40 more years. But during that 40-year pause, the promise never stopped being the promise of God. It continued to be the promise. But now they're at Gilgal, and it's like God has taken the pause button off of their life, and play has hit again. And now there is a resurrection of the promise making progress in their life, if you will. It was also a humble place of renunciation. The covenant of circumcision had been applied in their life at Sinai, but not again until Gilgal. And so now God directs them to take all the men who are uncircumcised and circumcise them. And so there is a renunciation of the old and a rekindling of that relationship with God as the people of God. And lastly, it was a place of restoration. It was at Gilgal, after circumcision, that we find them celebrating the Passover again. From Sinai to Gilgal, the Passover had not been celebrated because the uncircumcised could not celebrate Passover. And so they were not in that level of covenant with God, therefore they could not participate in this celebration. But now Passover celebrations begin again. And they say, thank you, God. They remember when God took them out of Egypt and set them on their journey. When you're all in, thankfulness is restored in your life. And so there are these four experiences at Gilgal. And what we're going to talk about, all of our three thoughts for today, they're going to center around the cumulative effect of these four circumstances, these four experiences that Israel finds at Gilgal. And here's the cumulative statement. Gilgal is a thoughtful place where the choice is made to shift your life to the other side of Jordan. This isn't done by accident. It's done on purpose to shift the weight of your life to the other side of Jordan and to allow the new territory to take the weight of your existence. That's what's going on at Gilgal. It's a tipping point. And I have three thoughts for you today, and thought number one is this, that it's right to celebrate the win. Celebrate the win. The promised land for the New Testament believer is salvation. And then we consistently cross the Jordans, if you will, as we take more territory in the promised land. So we're saved, but there's still territory to take within the context of our salvation. Israel had to go take Jericho. In fact, next week we're going to talk about facing the enemy in the promised land. But then after Jericho, they would have to take Ai. And there were many other cities and towns and villages that they were going to have to take throughout their process of trying to encompany and possess the promised land, if you will. This is all going on. And it's important to stop for a minute and celebrate the moment that you crossed the Jordan River in your life. It's important to celebrate these wins. Christy and I will often celebrate the tipping point in our marriage. You've heard me talk about it many times. Guess what? You're going to end up hearing me talk about it many more times. Because I visit the tipping point on a regular basis so that I do not forget the value of what it is that I have right now in my life with a great marriage, with a great wife. And I try to remember to be a great husband to her as well. We celebrate that tipping point. It's right to celebrate and to recognize those moments. And living in Christ isn't a solo activity. So it's not something that we celebrate by ourselves. It's something that we are celebrating in community. Now, Joshua and Caleb, rather, were the only ones who had ever celebrated the Passover before. They celebrated at Sinai. But now they've gone 40 plus years and here they are at Gilgal and it's time to celebrate the Passover. And so those who have experienced that moment before are now leading the entire nation in this celebration of their release from slavery. I encourage you today, if you've been living for Christ for a little while, take time to teach those that are coming behind you how to celebrate those moments in their life. Teach them how to celebrate by celebrating them yourself. Talk to them about the moment that you were saved, the moment that you came to Christ, the moment that you understood that you were not your own anymore, but that you were in Christ Jesus. Take that moment. Teach them to celebrate what God has done in our lives. And don't stop celebrating those moments. Don't stop celebrating the moment you go to the next level in your relationship with Christ. Paul gives us an interesting understanding. He combines two different thoughts and he gives this whole list in 1 Corinthians of people who are doing certain things that he says the people that can be defined and described in this way, they are people who will not go to heaven when they die. But then he turns a corner. Because when you read that list, it's not unlikely that you're going to find your own life in there somewhere. It's not unlikely that I'm going to find my own life there somewhere. We all exhibited those thoughts and those patterns of behavior. But then he says in verse number 11 of 1 Corinthians 6, some of you were once like that. That was your story. But you hit a tipping point. The tipping point, but you were cleansed, praise God. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. How many are thankful to be saved today? You hit a tipping point in your life, and those things no longer describe you. Now Paul says, here's what describes you. You're holy, you're cleansed, you're made right with God. This is the reality of your life today, and that is worth celebrating. It's worth celebrating. Celebrate the Jordan moments in your life and in your marriage and in your career, in your faith. Because celebration causes us to intentionally remember the victories that we've experienced in life. It causes us to do it as a community. We celebrate each other's birthdays and we celebrate these major events and holidays as family because we're as a community, we're galvanizing again what's important to us. We're going to celebrate in December a pivotal moment in the history of McCord Road Christian Church. It was December of 1964 that the first service of McCord Road Christian Church ever occurred. Now, it wasn't chartered until Palm Sunday of 1965, but the first service happened December 1964. That's an event worth celebrating, worth mentioning, worth remembering. Here's one in your own life. I want you to think about what year were you saved? What year do you know that you were saved? In my life, it was 1981. I was saved in 1981. I know that I was saved in 1981. What year was it in your life? And if you can't remember, just make one up. Don't do that. That's a joke. That's just a joke. But I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I want us all to shout out the year that we were saved. Now, listen, if you weren't raised Pentecostal, this might sound weird to you. It might feel awkward. If you were raised Pentecostal, you'll feel like you're just going home. It'd be fine. But I'm just going to ask everybody to shout out the year that you were saved, okay? And then we're going to celebrate that. Ready? One, two, three, 1981. I categorized every one of you right now in my brain. I know exactly what everyone said. I don't, but God does. And can we just thank God for salvation in our life this morning? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It's a moment worth celebrating. Israel celebrated the weight of their lives hitting the tipping point from the wilderness experience and on to the promised land. And that brings us to thought number two. It matters where you gather. It matters where you gather. See, crossing the tipping point means allowing the new territory to sustain you in your life. When you're in the wilderness sustains you. Your weight is upon the wilderness, and it brings everything you need. But as you shift, there's a tendency for us to continue to want to pull from the wilderness and not allow the tipping point to come in our life to where now we're reliant upon the territory that we're going into to actually take the weight of our lives and our experiences and our hopes and our dreams. We don't learn how to eat from the new territory. But when we hit that tipping point, that's exactly what we are intentionally doing. See, we know that God loves us. We understand that we're saved. But now we must learn how to be sustained by the new territory that we're in. Maybe it's a new territory of a relationship. Maybe it's a new territory in marriage. Maybe it's a new territory in friendship. Maybe it's a new territory in business or career. Now we have to learn how to live on what that new territory will bring to us. The immature must consistently be fed while the mature learn to self-feed. When a child is small, it's natural and normal that they are to be fed. But eventually, that child should learn how to feed itself. Now, they're supported by their parents and grandparents and those around them, but they're having to learn how to feed themselves. And then eventually, they learn how to work into the world in such a way as to where they are supporting their own lives, their own visions, their own careers. They're paying their own bills. They're supporting their own. They're having to learn how to live in the territory that they now exist within. In Christianity, there is somewhat of a movement that says that we want to create babies, but we never allow them to learn to self-feed. We just allow them to remain as babies in their spiritual walks with Christ. Here as this church body, we are dedicated to being a family that does not create spiritual babies who never mature into being able to self-feed. Amen. It doesn't mean that spiritual babies will not be born. They should be born. In any healthy family, the spiritual babies will be born. Any healthy faith family will bring forth spiritual children. But they must learn how to become self-feeders, how to live off the new territory that they're in. This is why I love and I'm passionate about the Divine Mentor reading and devotional plan that we do every single year. We kick it off in 2020 again. And we do it every year because it teaches us how to allow the Word of God, the manna of the new territory, if you will, the meat of the Word of God, the milk of the Word of God, the honey of the Word of God, the bitter of the Word of God, all of it together, we learn how to allow it to feed our lives instead of only living off of what other people have processed for us. I read books, I listen to podcasts, I listen to sermons, I get a lot of information from a lot of people, but ultimately, it's not what everybody else says about God that matters the most. It's what God says about God and how that applies to my life and yours. It's why I'm passionate about it, because it's teaching us how to eat from new territory versus eating from the old territory, or what others can prepare for us. And the reality is that we will be sustained in any territory that God calls us to. So if God's called you to a new territory, it will be such that can sustain you. And this is the thing that sometimes a bit of a scary thing. It's like you get into a new relationship with somebody, and so here you are, you're building that relationship, you're walking up the relational plank, you know, as it were, and you're getting up there, and it looks like you're really making a good connection. And so one day you decide to share with them something that you've never shared before, and it's personal, and it's a heavier thing. I mean, you've talked about the weather plenty of times, but now you're going to talk about something else. And so you share it with them. And you watch them start to process it. And the thought that comes into your mind and sometimes comes out of your mouth is, too soon? What you're asking is, did I put too much weight on this relationship? Did I put weight on it that it's not prepared to sustain? Can it handle what I've just said? And you always know you're in trouble when they go, oh, no, it's not a big deal. And you never hear from them again. That's what you're asking. You're saying, I feel like we're at a tipping point here where I'm all in. But you don't know if they are or they are not yet at that place. We must learn to be sustained in any kind of new territory. So maybe it's in your marriage. In your marriage, maybe you're just gotten married, or maybe you're taking new territory in your marriage. You have to learn to be sustained in that new territory of life. Your spouse must become the primary and only source of mental and emotional support, romantic expressions, and intimacy in your life. They may not be the only source of mental and emotional support, but romantic expression and intimacy, they must be the only. Yeah, I know the words that are coming out of my mouth. The only. Why? Because it matters where you gather. How about in your career? A lot of people want to work a minimum wage job and get maximum wage benefits and live a maximum wage life. It's not how the world works. And so but it doesn't mean that we're all called to being a maximum wage life and a maximum wage person. We can be called and be finding amazing fulfillment in our lives in other areas of pursuit. But it does mean finding peace in the lifestyle that your career offers. All right, so if I'm really called to be a therapist and to help people, in their relationship in the government, maybe I'm not going to drive a Bentley. And I'm okay with that. I feel good about that. It matters where you gather. How about as a church? As a church community and a family of faith, we commit to a family of faith whose values we can engage with and share, and whose mission we can get behind and help push forward. Why? Because it matters where you gather. We have three values at McCord. The first is the value of commitment. This is a church that's built on high commitment. We're committed to each other, we're committed to Christ, and we're committed to our community. It's a high level of commitment here. And we just assume and expect that those that join this church faith family will be people that will engage in that high level of commitment. We believe and value compassion. This church is filled with compassionate people. We have an opportunity consistently to show the compassion of Christ in the world around us. And we do as a church, with one another and with the world around us. We value community. This church, this building is used virtually every day of the week. And often it's not by people that are engaged in this church specifically. We have students that practice in sports in the gym on a regular basis. We have business groups that meet here on a regular basis. We have all kinds of people in our community that use this facility to engage in life because we believe, we value community. These are new territories. And we can take new territory in each one of these areas of value on a consistent basis. The question is, are we willing to gather where God has led us? It matters where you gather. And then thought number three is, you grow where you let go. You grow where you let go. See, crossing the tipping point in your life and in the promised land, it means letting the manna go from your life. From the day that they began eating of the crops of the land, the manna stopped. Manna was wilderness food. Manna was the food that they were being fed by God while they were wandering, before they were landowners. Before salvation, we live in a carnal world. Before we're in Christ and in His promised land for our lives, we live in a world where, in essence, the manna falls from the sky. We are able to just assuage our carnal desires and natures at will. It doesn't mean we're all terrible people. It just means that if we want to say it this way, we say it that way. If we want to do it this way, we do it that way. We don't live within the parameters and guidelines of God's Word and in God's world. In some ways, it's a very easy life. But after salvation, we begin living within the perimeter of God's promised land. Truly making the promised land home, however, costs something. For Israel, they had to renew the covenant of circumcision. They had to cut away something from the old life in order to fully grab hold of the new territory that God was calling them to. If you think about Jesus, Jesus is there on the cross, and He's there. He's sacrificing Himself for you and for me and for sin that had already been committed, sin that was being committed that very moment, and sin that would be committed in the days to come. Your sin and mine were placed upon Him at the cross. Here He is, paying the price for all sin of humanity. And what does He cry out? He cries out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why aren't You here? He felt that way because as a man who had never sinned, he did not know what the guilt of sin felt like. And suddenly he had the sin of all of humanity upon his life. And the holy God could not maintain covenant with the unholy on the cross. And so suddenly there is a cutting away of this relationship that he had known his whole life. And eternity past. Why have You forsaken me? What was happening? Jesus was at the tipping point. See, all of His weight now was placed upon the promise. The promise was that if one man give it all, live holy and give it all, by one man's sin, sin entered the world. But by one man, grace enters the world. And so the promise is that if you will give your life for the sin of all mankind, then I'll forgive the sin of mankind. They have salvation available to them. And in 3 days, I will raise you up again because hell can't touch you. But at the tipping point, Jesus was all in. There was no going back anymore. Salvation itself for you and I, it's free. It's free because you can't earn it and you will never deserve it. It's free. You couldn't pay for it even if God gave you the opportunity to. But it is not without sacrifice. Making the promised land home and living there means sacrifice. Yes, we get all of Jesus. And there's nothing that we have in this world that's worth all of him. He's so much more valuable. But it absolutely means losing all of us. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, if you love me, deny yourself and follow me. Salvation is free, but making the promised land home, that costs something. And I hear believers, not infrequently, they'll say something like, Pastor, I've heard all my life about what the promised land is supposed to be, what living in Christ is supposed to be like. I've heard all about what living in this world that Christ is in you and you are in him. And I've heard of all about what that's supposed to be like, but I haven't exactly experienced all of that in my own life. Why not? I would say as long as you are eating from the wilderness, you can progress no further into the land of promise. Somebody needs to hit the tipping point today. What this means in your life and in mine is refusing to be sustained by what has been. Where we're not saying, I want the food of the promise. I want the grain of the promise. I want to, I don't want to lose the manna. Don't want to lose the manna. I want the promise. I want everything that God has me. I want to lose what was back there. I want to be a landowner. I want to experience it all. I don't want to lose the manna falling from the sky. Some of us are at a tipping point today where God is saying, it's time for you to be sustained by what the promised land has for you and let go of what the wilderness offered. Don't sacrifice what can be on the altar of what used to be. Even if you went back to what used to be, it isn't what it used to be. Neither one of these things are true yet. What used to be no longer exists, and what can be hasn't become yet. So you're sitting in the middle. And how you manage and how you steward what you have right now will determine what you will get to in the promised land. That's how it works. But even going back isn't going to help you. I go back to Baton Rouge every once in a while to see my grandparents' home. And it's, on one hand, it's a beautiful thing. On the other hand, the new owners have messed up my grandparents' house entirely. They painted it. Then they put on an addition. And I think they probably think it's awesome. They do not recognize that they have destroyed it. It's not my grandparents' home anymore. Don't sacrifice what can be on the altar of what used to be. Maybe in your marriage today, it's time to lose that old number. It's time to unfriend them on Facebook. Well, what if they are offended? Who cares if they're offended? If they're messing up your marriage, who cares if they're offended? It's a good word right there for somebody. Prioritize your spouse. In your career, maybe you've gone as far as you can at your current level of commitment. It's time to be all in. How about in your faith? Start celebrating the salvation that Christ gave you. Eat from the new land. Let go of the old food. Stop receiving what fed the old nature and be sustained by what is harvested from the promised land. Maybe this year is the time for you to go all in on the divine mental reading. Well, is that kind of a special formula? No, it's about learning how to eat from the Word of God that will sustain you from this day forward. Praise God. Maybe it's making prayer a priority. Maybe it's joining a life group or being consistent in your church attendance. You're just trying to get us here? No, we're trying to build a bigger building so more people can come here. The problem isn't people being here. The problem is development within us into being all that God has called us to be. Maybe it's believing God for a miracle. You know He's promised it, but you haven't experienced it yet. Maybe you're not quite all in on His promise. I don't know what it is in your life, but if you'll bow your heads with me right now, I'd love to pray with you. If you know the Holy Spirit is calling you to cross the tipping point in your life today in some area of life, would you have the courage to just slip up your hand real quick and let me pray with you? I'm seeing hands all over the room. You know it's time to hit that tipping point. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see your people. You see what you're calling them to. You see what's before them. You see what's in the promised land. They have a glimpse, but they don't have a full realization of what's there. So today, as hard as it is, we're denying the wilderness food. From this day forward, we're not going to look to what we knew before to sustain us in our today and in our future. We're committing ourselves to be all in with you, Jesus. We're going to eat from your food. We're going to be guided by your voice. We're going to be empowered by your Holy Spirit. And we're not going to go back anymore. But today we're committing ourselves to placing all of our weight in the new territory and allowing you to sustain us as only you can, God Almighty, God our provider, God our deliverer. We trust in you today. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you receive that today, can you just say amen?